Hey now, welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from a pop-up studio in Lake Placid, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. This is Season 3, Episode 5 of the Deadology Podcast. Today is February 25th, 2025, 2025. And we're going to take a look at a great show that kind of got lost in the shadows from the New Haven Coliseum. Jerry Garcia Band show, The Night After Music Mountain. This is June 17th, 1982. And it's definitely, with all the attention and the mythology around Music Mountain, it's easy to understand how a great show like this could get lost in the shadows of that show. And also on June 18th from Cape Cod, there's an official Jerry Garcia Band release from a pretty good show. So this is kind of... I guess I call it a kind of lost show in the shadows of those shows. But I definitely think it's better than the Cape Cod show, and really hard to compare anything to Music Mountain. But what a great night this was. I went up there with one of my key contributors to the Deadology Podcast, Doug Schmell. We went up. It was his birthday, his 19th birthday. And we were just so excited. The night after Music Mountain, driving up to New Haven. And on this night, Bob Weir opened up before the Jerry Garcia Band took the stage. And the Bobby and the Midnights Band was, I didn't appreciate it at the time as much because I only had eyes and ears for Jerry, no matter who the opening act was. Really, you could have thrown anybody up there, you know. That's one thing I do regret. I kind of missed out on some of the great opening acts like Dr. John and Rick Danko. I was there, but I really wasn't all that familiar with their music. I was 18 at this time, and it was this day was Doug's 19th birthday. But we did see some great opening acts, and Bobby and the Midnights, 1982, it's pretty hot. I've listened to some of those tapes. The one from Music Mountain is really good. I would have done a little review of this show, but I couldn't find like a full version of it. So Bobby and the Midnights open. Killer band. They're going to come back later. One of the special things about this show, they came back and performed with the Garcia Band for the last two songs. And just the excitement of them opening up with Sugar Ray. The Garcia Band opens up with Sugar Ray. This was probably like my fifth or sixth. It was my sixth Garcia Band show. I saw the Grateful Dead about six times also at this juncture in my career. Such excitement. I had such enthusiasm. 82, 83. After a while, you kind of become a veteran to it. But yeah, I was in that stage where every time Garcia hit a hot lead, I was out there howling like a maniac. And so that opening Sugar Ray, which is what they opened the New Haven show with after Bobby and the Midnights finished, just so exciting. And this, well, first let me tell you who the band was, just to go over that one more time, who was in the band. Obviously, John Kahn on bass. You got both Melvin Seals on organ, Jimmy Warren on electric keyboard, Liz Stiers and Julie Stafford were background vocals, and Billy Kreutzmann on drums. He played the drums on this tour, and it's kind of surprising. He also played a lot of shows in the 70s, so Kreutzmann actually has done I don't have the actual number on me right here. But he's actually played on a number, and it wasn't like a fill-in type thing. He was the drummer at Garcia Band for a few different tours. So obviously a great band here. And this opening Sugar Ray, wow. This is a master's class on how to... I could picture Garcia. It's like he's addressing guitarists, showing them exactly how you should play a hot Sugar Ray. There's really two awesome ways I think that Jerry comes across when he improvises. One, he'll hit notes you never could have dreamed of. He never played before. He just finds like a path to somewhere he's never been before. And that's an amazing kind of Garcia improvisation. And then there's the standard, and he could do this great too when he's mathematical, logical, everything makes sense as a listener. As a musician, you hear what he's doing. He's doing it step by step. Just everything is flowing. This is perfect to teach somebody how to play, even though nobody could do it as hot as Garcia. This is exactly the way you want to play Sugar Ray. Everything just flows beautifully. It's like scientifical, mathematical, but so awesome. So there's definitely a motif he sets here in the Sugar Ray. The first solo, hot, you know, this is what we want to do to get the crowd going. And then he goes, if you're in the mood and it's the right crowd, you play this extra line. So it's like he did everything you'd want in the first one plus a little extra. Does the same exact thing in the second solo, but a little longer, incrementally longer as the second solo should be. And once again, he does that comeback where it sounds like the instrumental is over. He comes back for another round. So he's definitely setting up a motif, which he also follows on this third solo. Just perfect mathematical execution by Garcia, but oh so hot. One of the best Sugar Rees you'll ever hear. And let me play that third solo for you right now.
Thank you.
Awesome opener, a great way to launch the festivities in New Haven, Connecticut on June 17th, 1982. A 17-minute Sugary. And I think you could hear that Garcia did like a great third solo there. And it seemed like it was reaching the ending. He did like a false ending and came back for one more round. Jerry playing a little possum and giving a master class on how to wow a crowd with Sugary. All right, so a great start. And I've mentioned this before, once again, Sugary and Connecticut. You know, just every time, almost every time the Dead or Garcia band went through there, they played a killer Sugary. And it makes sense in a way. The first Sugary, I think I have the date right here, July 31st, 71 in New Haven at the Yale Bowl. That's where the song debuted. And then you look at those 77, those monster 77 versions, one from New Haven, May 5th, and the other one from Hartford, May 28th. And just so many great versions through the years. Hartford 81, March 14th, 81, Great Sugary. There's some from 83 and 84. And this, and also some from the Bushnell, 83, there's a Great Sugary. And this definitely adds to the Connecticut Sugary legacy. Another Great Sugary in the books for Connecticut. And we'll move on to song two of that night. And great choice, Second Out of Motion. There was something about this show in the moment. I was out of my mind with excitement. And Second Out of Motion has the right, perfect second song. In the second spot, Second Out of Motion. Smokey Robinson classic. And Jerry just so loved playing this tune. You could hear it in his singing. And I love the smoothness of the instrumental. And once again, just very precision, very hot, but very mathematical playing on this Second Out of Motion. Awesome version. The one thing, this would be good for a master class too. Jerry flubbed the first two or three lines of the song as he began to sing, and then he easily recovered. So that's a master class on how to recover effortlessly from a flub at the beginning of the song. But besides that little opening hindrance, just a spectacular version of Second Out of Motion. And the third song is They Love Each Other. Pretty common choice for the Jerry Garcia band, but it sounded great in the third spot after Second Out of Motion. A lot better than if it was in the two spot. I love the way this show flows. And I think the best Love Each Other's I heard are from like the Roseland. Those probably have the May 31st, 83 and June 1st, 83. But there's so many good Garcia ones, a little funkier, a little more soul. And on this version, hey, once again, if we got the masterclass out there, Garcia takes this instrumental in the middle. It's two rounds. So after he plays the first round, just the way he connects these two rounds, like he'll play these low notes, take it as low as you can on the guitar, only to build it up and come in with these quick licks. Love the way he, on a hot Love Each Other, just as the precision of his playing is incredible. So hey, let's take a listen. They Love Each Other. They Love Each Other, a staple for both the Jerry Garcia Band and the Grateful Dead. And as I was putting this together, I was thinking, is Love Each Other one of Jerry's most played tunes, maybe the most played? And I did a touch of research. I really didn't go into it too deep. China Cat was the most played Jerry song by the Grateful Dead. Overall, though, if you combine Garcia Band and the Dead, number one was Deal, which makes sense. And then you got, China Cat would be two. And then I think three and four are Sugary and then Love Each Other. Sugary and Deal both had a five-year head start on Love Each Other. So it makes sense that those songs were played a little more when you combine the stats of both the Garcia Band and the Dead. But Jerry loved Love Each Other. And moving on to song four of the June 17th, 82 show. By the way, this is one long set. Jerry didn't do two sets on this night. There could have been a time constraint, especially with Weir playing first. Song number four, Knock on Heaven's Door. And I believe that the Jerry Garcia took Knock on Heaven's Door and made it into the Jerry Garcia Band's Row Jimmy. You know, just a very repetitive, a little bit of a reggae kind of shuffle going. But for me, most versions don't have this great peak. Garcia was the master of doing Dylan tunes. He would always find something extraordinary and bring it out of the song. Look at Tough Mama, Tangled Up in Blue, Simple Twist of Fate, Senor, I Shall Be Released, Forever Young. Jerry really found something in those songs and made them, I don't want to say more exciting than Dylan, but definitely longer and possibly more exciting. He would find something in those songs where Dylan just kind of left it behind in the studio. So for me, Knock on Heaven's Door, if I could scratch one song off a Garcia Band set list before they went out to play, it would be that tune. And this happens to be actually a very good version, but just not a huge fan of the Garcia Band Knock on Heaven's Door. It drags on a little bit and doesn't have that surging peak that most of Jerry's interpretations of Dylan have. But once again, Jerry's on a roll this night. Must be in a great mood because he loved going to Music Mountain the night before. It really meant a lot to him. So he's still in a great mood. New Haven, Knock on Heaven's Door. And then the fifth song of this show may have been the song of the night, Valerie. This has to be the most underrated Jerry Garcia Band song. So it's off of the Run for the Roses album, which came out November 82. So I was slightly familiar with the song. I had heard it the night before in Music Mountain, and that's a great version too. But this one is absolutely insane. I love the lyrics, but this like so stood out for me. There's like moments when you saw the Dead or Garcia Band that will forever be ensconced in your mind, and this Valerie is one of them. And I think it's the fact that I didn't know this song, and then I heard Garcia go into this solo. I'm like, what the hell is this, man? It was mind blowing. And I'm gonna play that, but just this is the hottest Valerie I've ever heard. And it was kind of surprising to me that he never came back to the song after the coma. The last time they played it was in 1986, so it had a very short run. It was debuted in 81. Last time it was played was 86. At the time of this concert, a lot of people probably didn't even know the song because it hadn't come out on the album or so. But what a great song, and I think you'll agree with me when you hear this Valerie that it's the best one ever. And the cool thing about it, once again, kind of getting back to the masterclass theme of, you know, like if you're a guitarist, Jerry's teaching guitarists on this, he didn't play it any longer than any other Valerie. But this is packing as much fire as you can into a four-round solo. So enjoy. Valerie, won't you be good to me? Yeah, great solo there from Jerry. Another moment that comes to mind when I listen to that, just like a moment in time that's frozen in your mind when you were just blown away by a song you really didn't know. When I went to see Dylan and the Dead at Giant Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey, July 12th, 87. This was the first time Dylan played Wicked Messenger live. He pretty much, after he came out with John Wesley Harding, forgot about the song, never broke it out. And Garcia liked the song a lot. He played it with Legion and Mary, did great versions of it. So this was the first time they were playing it together, and I had just gotten into Bob Dylan about 2 months earlier, like getting into him, getting all the albums and like really getting into him. So I was psyched at those Dylan Dead shows. And this Wicked Messenger, unreal. Garcia just played an all-time great solo, kind of like this Valerie, and it's just something you never forget when you see something like that live. So great Valerie in New Haven. That was the fifth song of this eight-song set, and then Jerry rolls into another one of his favorites, I'll Take a Melody, And yeah, just the once again, the guitar work on this is amazing. You know, also the nice little reggae shuffle in the middle, killer version of I'll Take a Melody. I probably would have played a cut for it, but hey, the more cuts I do, the longer it takes to put this together. And I'd probably be doing episodes every 2-3 weeks instead of trying to get it done weekly. So usually I can't go more than, it becomes a little too time inefficient to do more than 4 or 5 cuts. But that melody is great, definitely worthy of an audio highlight. I'd recommend seeking this show out. Top-notch stuff. Not quite as good as Music Mountain, but close. And it just, you know, a different feel, but man, they are on fire in the summer of 82. Billy Kreutzmann, John Kahn, Melvin Seals, man, bringing it home. And then the seventh song, a beautiful version of Sitting Here in Limbo. And definitely different sounding from the one. I like the ones from 1980 a lot. You got the background singing on this. Once again, you get that little kind of reggae calypso thing in the middle. That's so cool from this time period. Where in 83, I think the jamming was great in a different way. It was more cumbersome, but and there was more of it. And more is always more, which means better for Jerry Garcia. But there's just such a smoothness to this playing, man. A beautiful Sitting Here in Limbo. Another great Jimmy Cliff cover from the Heart of They Come album by the Jerry Garcia Band. And they're going to close it out with a Dylan classic, Tangled Up in Blue. And by this time, 82, going into 83, this is where Tangled Up in Blue really starts to take off. And the jams at the end become pretty long. And this New Haven one is no exception. There's one from Cape Cod, 1983, which is absolutely ridiculous. But this New Haven one is pretty hot. It's going to at the end the set with it. So let's check out the final instrumental of Tangled Up in Blue.
Yeah.
Senor Garcia, strong like bull, tangled up in blue. And you'll notice that Jerry said, we're going to take a break and come back and play a little more. I'm sure when I was there that night, I thought that meant another set was coming. I'm pretty sure we were incredibly excited about that. But they needed to take the break so Bobby could join him on stage for the final two songs with Bobby Cochran and Billy Cobham. So I guess the fact that they had to set up those guys on stage was why they took the break. But they come back, they do two songs. It's really more of a double encore than another set. The two songs are The Women Are Smarter and Deal. And The Women Are Smarter in 1982 is pretty damn cool. I never liked Women Are Smarter when I was seeing the band back in the day. As the years went on, it became a little gimmicky. It didn't even seem like the band was into playing it that much. It seemed like Weir continued to enjoy it. And obviously the crowd, it would stir up the crowd. So to me, it was always like a gimmicky kind of tune. But as I listened back to some of the earlier versions, in 1982, they played the hell out of Women Are Smarter, The Grateful Dead, and this version here, too. Like the Alpine August 7th, 82 version, very hot. They just, it's a Harry Belafonte tune, very cool. I think part of my disappointment with Women Are Smarter back in those days was it sounded like Ico Ico, and I didn't realize there was a song, Women Are Smarter. I was hoping it would be Ico Ico. So that would lead to the disappointment. But some of those early versions, 1982, great year for Women Are Smarter, man. The band played the hell out of the song, as they do here. The first of the two songs, we'll call them a double encore. So obviously Weir's doing the lead singing. You could hear Jerry behind them all excited about it. Very cool to have everybody on the stage. And then they close out with the most played Jerry song of all time, Deal, but it was never before played with Bobby Cochran and Billy Cobham on stage. So this is a unique deal, pretty hot, ends the show, and I'm going to play it in its entirety for you as the outro, and that wraps up another, I didn't even mention at the top of the show, this is February, Jerry Garcia Band Month. We're going to do another Jerry show, even if it's the first week of March, before we get back to the Grateful Dead. Great night. The night after Music Mountain, New Haven, Connecticut, June 17th, 1982. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. My website, tangledupintunes.com. Enjoy this finale, and speak to you next week. Peace out.
See you later.